Right. Out, I need to let you ladies who are going to be going out with them know that I'm going to send a deacon for you at the end of the service because we have a gift for every woman here today. And so we were going to ask you to come back, but those who are going out with the children, you can go out now, and we will invite you back before we quite end the service, okay? The rest of you can be seated. Sorry about that. I preached my first Mother's Day service in 1971 in Plant City, or outside of Plant City, Florida. So I've had several Mother's Days. And I thought, you know, you hear the same thing every Mother's Day. You pick out a different mother. There's a lot of mothers in the Bible. A lot of them are good examples. There's been some rather not so good. Jezebel, a few others. But I thought, let's have a different message today. And so we're going to have a different message today. So if you would, turn to Genesis chapter 2. That's right behind the index, okay? Just in case any of you have problems with where Genesis is. If your Bible has an index, it's right behind the index. Genesis 2. And I thought, let's start at the very beginning and let's see how this is going to work out. So Genesis 2, verses 18 through 25. 18 through 25. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever he called them, every living creature, that was the name thereof. I don't know where he came up with hippopotamus, but anyway, he did. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, have you ever thought about what a fantastic thing God did when he made a woman? Until that time, Jesus had made every living thing out of the elements that comprise the earth. But that's not what the woman was made out of. Look, in the dirt was every element on the atomic scale. And God made man out of the dirt. What if God had never made woman? Do you realize that Adam would still be working in the Garden of Eden? Six 6,000 years he'd have had a hoe in his hand. When God made the first man, Adam, he understood at that time. When he made Adam, God understood, because God is so great. God is so large. We cannot even begin to imagine God. One of the characteristics of God is omnipotence. He's all-powerful. He's also omniscient. He knows everything. And before he made that man, Adam, he knew that one was not going to be enough. And he knew that Adam was not going to spend 6,000 years in the Garden of Eden by himself. So God made a female so that there would be one of each. When we read about the creation, he made them male and female, two, one of each. There's not 87, as our federal government says. I can't get anybody up there. I've even asked Tim Scott, what's number three? And I haven't gotten an answer yet. He made them male and female. In Genesis 1, 21 through 23, it says, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. That's a key word, kind. And every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And in the evening and the morning were the fifth day. God saw that it took one of each to make more. And they made more of their kind, not different kinds. An amoeba did not evolve into a dinosaur. We don't believe that. God tells us what happened. Each one produced his kind, not a different kind. And that's why it's so important that we start out at the beginning, that we start out in the right place. Now, my wife and I, when we were out in Glen Rose, Texas, we walked down the creek where the dinosaur tracks are. We saw the prints of men in those tracks. They were bigger men because the tracks were bigger. But God tells us what he did. He made each one to produce his own kind. Man produces mankind. Cows produce cows. Horses, horses. Mosquitoes, mosquitoes. And most of them live here in Charleston. On the fifth day, God had made the life that lived in the waters. He had made them male and female, no other kinds. They were opposites to one another because God had made them that way so that they could produce fruit of the same kind of animal in male and female. God even told them to expand on the reproduction of each one, making more animals of their kind. Genesis 1:24, and God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Until now, God saw that everything he had done was good. Each animal knew what his job was. It was to make more animals just like themselves. And that would be good also. So that worked for almost 6,000 years. There was just one thing that God needed improvement on. And it wasn't an oversight on God's part. He had a plan. He has always had a plan. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for all of us. And it's up to us to live lives that where he can communicate that plan to us. But God made the first human called Adam. And he didn't make an opposite kind like Adam, not then. The Bible tells us what God did next in Genesis 2, 7, and 8. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. God gave two things. Christ formed the body. And the Father gave the Spirit, and he gave the soul. When he said, let's make man in our own image, that was it. Body, Spirit, soul. Three different parts. Like God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Spirit, the soul, the body. It's all there. That was the image. Until now, God had told every kind that he had made to be fruitful and multiply. He couldn't tell Adam that because Adam was just one half of a kind. God understood because he had a plan from the very beginning. Let's watch God's plan take place in Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to the beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. I want you to understand, God does not make mistakes. God does not make mistakes. And this was not an afterthought. This was part of God's plan from the very beginning. God had a very specific plan for man's mate. He wasn't going to make her out of dirt. He was going to make her a little different from man. She was going to have curves. She was going to be softer. She was going to be less strong. God had a whole different plan for woman. It was not the same as the man. We need to understand that. He made her differently than he made a man. Now, this next part is a little difficult to explain. I'm going to try. So give me a minute or two as I go into it. When God made all the other animals, he didn't have to teach them what the mate was. They all knew their mates. They all understood their mates. Nobody had to teach them anything. They knew what the mate was for. Pigs smelled like pigs. Cows smelled like cows. They could identify each other. In the case of Adam and Eve, they were both made a little differently, and so God brought them to each other unwrapped. That's what the Bible tells us. He didn't wrap them up, oh surprise. What does the Bible say next? Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. A lot of people don't understand that this was actually a piece of prophecy. Adam and Eve, well, Eve didn't have a mother or father. Adam didn't have a mother or father. How did he know that a man would leave his mother and father and cling to his wife? Because God put that knowledge in Adam's head. And he also put a similar knowledge in Eve's head and heart. In 1 Corinthians 14:40, it says, let all things be done decently and in order. And that is exactly how God created everything. Decently and on time. He gave Eve to Adam at the proper time when Adam was ready. Now, I want to think about, this is Mother's Day here in the United States. There are Mother's Days all over the world, different dates for different countries. But let me share a little bit of the origin of Mother's Day here. The origins of Mother's Day, as celebrated in the United States, date back to the 19th century, in the years before the Civil War. That's when it started. Ann Reeves Jarvis of West Virginia helped start Mother's Day work clubs. Mother's Day work clubs. To teach local women how to properly care for their children. Started in West Virginia. These clubs later became a unifying force in a region of the country still divided over the Civil War. And in 1868, Jarvis organized Mother's Friendship Day, at which mothers gathered with former UN and Confederate soldiers to promote reconciliation. There was a purpose for Mother's Day. Another precursor to Mother's Day came from the abolitionist and suffragette, Julia Ward Howe. And in 1870, Howe wrote the Mother's Day Proclamation, a call to action that asked mothers to unite in promoting world peace. And in 1873, Howe campaigned for a Mother's Peace Day to be celebrated every June 2nd. Other early Mother's Day pioneers included Juliet Calhoun Blakely, a temperance activist, who inspired a local Mother's Day in Albion, Michigan. In time, 1870, the duo of Mary Charles Sassine and Frank Herring worked to organize a Mother's Day in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Some have even called Herring the father of Mother's Day. How about that? The father of Mother's Day. The official Mother's Day holiday arose in the 1900s as a result of the efforts of Anna Jarvis, daughter of the original woman who began the training mothers how to take care of their families. And following her mother's homegoing in 1905, she began to ask Congress to do something about this. And after gaining financial backing from Philadelphia department store owner John Widowmaker, or Wanamaker, in May 1908, she organized the first official Mother's Day celebration at a Methodist church in Grafton, West Virginia. That same day also saw thousands of people attend Mother's Day event at one of Wanamaker's retail stores in Philadelphia. A special day in the department stores for mothers. And following the success of her first Mother's Day, Jarvis, who remained unmarried and childless her whole life, resolved to see her holiday added to the national calendar, arguing that American holidays were biased towards male achievements. Sounds sort of familiar, doesn't it? She started a massive letter-writing campaign to newspapers and prominent politicians, urging the adoption of a special day honoring motherhood. And by 1912, many states, towns, and churches had adopted Mother's Day as an annual holiday, and Jarvis established the Mother's Day International Association to help promote her cause. Her persistence paid off in 1914 when President Woodrow Wilson signed the measure into law, officially establishing the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. That's where it came from, ladies. Do you ladies realize that had God not made a woman for Adam, like I said, Adam would still be hoeing in the Garden of Eden? He'd be 6,000 years old, yes. None of us would be here. None of us would be here. Because we've all got mothers that brought us into this life. Life would have been very boring for Adam. And I have to tell you, mothers, this, you ladies, this, all of you ladies, you have certainly livened up life for men. And I trust that God will permit you to continue to do that. Life would have been very boring. So we want to recognize each woman that is here this morning. Whether you be a mother or not, God has placed you here for various reasons. Number one reason, which is to keep men confused. And you have been quite successful at that for most of your life. From about the time that a boy is around 12, he learns that there's a good reason to be just a little fearful about girls. May each of you ladies be a blessing to someone in the coming days. As our expression of gratitude, we want to give each of you a little gift. We're going to get out just a few minutes early this morning, but Bobby, could you notify them in the Sunday school room that we are ready for them to return, if there's anything left of them, okay? You ladies are all important to us, whether you're mothers or not. You represent God's choice for us men. You also represent what was the purpose of God giving Adam this helper. She was to be a help meet. And whether or not you are mothers, you are helpmeets to your husbands, to your mates, to the man that God puts into each of your life. And I trust that God has put the man in your life. We have a little gift for each of you. It is a Mother's Day card, whether you're a mother or not. Every woman gets one, including the girls, okay? Within the card is a $25 Walmart gift certificate. So men, stay out of Walmart this afternoon. Go ahead and give those out. No, thank you. And that's what this is. This is a thank you from the men here of Coastal Shores Baptist Church to all of you women. We love you all. We do. For several reasons. One is God has made you our spiritual sisters. And that is another entire relationship that we did not get into today, but one that is just as real as the other. Have all of the ladies received a gift card? We're going to offer up this morning a special prayer for all of you. It is a prayer of our hearts. We trust that God will use you in the days He gives you, whether it be a few years or many years, to serve Him as a helpmeet to someone. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you thanking you for Eve, for that first woman. And Father, down through the ages, almost 6,000 years now, you have caused women to be mothers. And Father, they are more tender than we men are. They are more compassionate than we men are. Yes, many times they are creatures of emotion, and we men do not understand them. But Father, we pray for them this morning. We pray that you will bless each woman here, young or old. Father, that they might understand you have made them. You have given them a purpose in their life. And Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will bring each woman to that place of purpose, that he will strengthen them, that he will give them wisdom and understanding, and that your will might be done in each one of their lives, that they might fulfill the purpose for which you have placed them upon the earth. And Father, we also ask that they will glorify you with what they do. And Father, we will praise you continually for all that you have done and for the things you are yet to do through the lives of these women. Thank you, Father, for making Adam a helpmeet. Thank you for all the helpmeets that you have given down through these centuries. May your will be done in each life, and we will praise you for what you do, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Oh, you're behind me already.